The sanctuary was full. Clay estimated about 300 people were in attendance. Some were whispering to each other. Most just stared ahead to the front of the room where an elderly harpist wearing a long gray dress was playing. Nice touch, harps. Heaven. Sets the right mood. Next to the harpist stood a single table covered in white linen. On the table was a large framed picture of Uncle Charlie. The photo must have been taken recently because Clay had a difficult time recognizing his uncle, so long it had been since he had actually seen him in the flesh. The snake of guilt crawled a little further up Clay's throat. Next to the picture was a plain-looking ceramic urn and a large bouquet of pastel flowers. What seemed out of place, however, was not on the table. In a floor stand at the end of the table opposite the harp stood a banjo. Tears began to pool in Clay's eyes. His throat tightened. He had forgotten all about Uncle Charlie's banjo. His uncle could play the banjo and the organ. Though the organ mostly played hymns and hits from the 1920s, the banjo was reserved for bluegrass, music from Uncle Charlie's childhood growing up in the dirt-poor hills of Kentucky. Clay had the eerie sensation that he was being watched. He nonchalantly dabbed his wet eyes with the sleeve of his suit coat. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw her. The little girl next to him was looking up, studying him intensely.
"It's okay, don't be sad. Charlie is in heaven now,"
whispered the little girl to Clay. The girl's voice was heard by her mother, who immediately turned and leaned closer to both of them.
"I'm so sorry if my daughter is disturbing you,"
she said to Clay, and without waiting for a response, said to her daughter,
"Trisha, mind your manners. This nice gentleman might not wish to be bothered." "He looked sad, Mommy. I just wanted him to know that Charlie was okay in heaven."
Clay responded to both. "It's perfectly okay. Your daughter is absolutely correct. Uncle Charlie is in heaven."
"You said Uncle Charlie. Were you his nephew?"
the mother asked with a look that had a lot more questions than her words. "Great uncle, actually. I'm Clay Austin from Seattle."
"Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, Clay. We loved him. As you can see, he was well-liked here in Reef Bay,"
the woman said, sweeping her hand in the air to point out the capacity crowd.
"I'm Molly. We live down the road from Charlie's place."
Just then the harpist stopped playing and the pastor stepped up to the pulpit. Clay, Trisha, and Molly stopped their conversation and turned their attention to the man standing at the pulpit. Based on the pastor's words, Clay concluded that Uncle Charlie had been a longtime member of this church. The pastor spoke warmly of his uncle's volunteer work, even to his repair of one of the priceless stained glass windows that had broken in a gale. The pastor said that Charlie was a regular, but could seldom find his way to church on time. Apparently, it was accepted that Charlie would always come through the door during the second of three worship songs. Being late, he'd have to sit in the back on the aisle.
"Third row from the back was where we could always find Charlie, but never during the first song,"
the pastor said and pointed to the back. Soft laughter rippled through the audience. Many heads turned to where the pastor was pointing. Clay turned just enough in his seat so he could spot the place in the third row where his uncle always sat. There was the row furthest back, that was number one, next was two. The second row from the back was immediately behind Clay's row. No way. In a second, he counted again. One, two, three. No mistake. He was sitting in the third row from the back. He was sitting in Uncle Charlie's seat. His hands began to shake. The snake inside him was really on the move now. It didn't help that about half the congregation was staring at him. He felt a tug on his right sleeve and looked over to Trisha.
"It's okay, mister, you can sit here,"
said the little girl. Those were the kindest words Clay had ever heard. But the comfort was soon over. Now he was completely lost in his emotions. He never heard the remaining eulogy, nor did the words of the next two speakers have any meaning to him. He felt like he was in a bubble. Everything in view was foggy.